thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And welcome aboard to Life and Taxes. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Ben.
What do you have for us today?
Well, Ben, we're going to deviate a little bit from the tax world today, and we're going to dive into a little estate planning, estate administration issues.
Yeah, still it all comes back to taxes.
It all does come back to taxes.
At some point. Okay.
So I'm a big podcast fan. Mm-hmm. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and one of the ones that I kind of make a weekly listen is This American Life. It's by Ira Glass.
Yeah.
Out of Chicago Public Radio. You know, good stories just about mm-hmm. people in America. And this week's episode was entitled Left Behind,
mm-hmm.
And the prologue portion dealt with the Ray family. And the Ray family, Mr. Ray, he was Assistant Secretary of State in the Kennedy administration.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is that he died in 2006, and ultimately the mother died, his wife died in 2017. And in their wills, they didn't designate who got specific items of tangible property. They just said, we're going to give our property in equal shares to the children.
Oh, okay. You so know. No separate letter or nothing else.
They you got it. So we've got this, you know, just general, generic, equal
right.
shares language, which is very common in wills
mm-hmm.
To see that the tangible property will be divided as equally as possible. But here's the issue in the Ray family. There are 12 siblings.
Oh, wow.
So a family of 12.
Mm-hmm.
And they were divided ultimately into two factions, we'll call them.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll call them the Rockaway crew, which Rockaway is a little suburb of Queens,
Maryland.
New York.
Rockaway, New York, yeah.
Yeah, and then non-Rockaway crew. So those are the individuals that moved away and didn't stay in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. I'll give you a little bit of example of how the internal strife of this family was. You know, on the day their mother died, two funeral homes showed up to retrieve the body.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so one wanted the funeral to be in Rockaway, another one wanted to be in Long Island where the family was originally located. So that was the interesting dynamic we had even on the day their mother died.
Oh, wow.
And Joe, who was a lawyer who was in charge of administering the estate, had to broker a deal to have the funeral held in Rockaway and let the Rockaway funeral home retrieve the body. Another example, Ben, is there was mother's engagement ring. And in order to have what I'll call the chain of custody of the engagement ring, there was a picture that was taken of the funeral director giving it to one of the siblings, who then immediately took it to a jeweler who had, you know, them certify that yes, this is in fact the ring and, mm-hmm. you know, age the diamond and all of that. So you can see kind of the dynamics we have going on with this particular family. You know, and the ultimate question becomes, how do we divide the stuff, Ben? And this is a common question that we receive at the law firm. You know, and I'm going to go through and delineate how they've determined and how they decided to divide the tangible items of property. But it really is a difficult question facing not only people who are planning their estates,
right.
but also those administering
right.
the estates.
So, yeah, because How do you decide the relative value of a Hummel collection versus the gun collection?
You got
so.
It. Exactly right. So their system, Ben, was obviously written by a lawyer, Joe, and one of the siblings. And he had 5 pages of rules. And then they had pictures of all 196 items that were up for grab. And the rules consist of 23 rules, and I'll give you an example they do in the podcast. Rule number 10 is no alleged oral promises will be recognized as being valid. Hard documented proof must be provided to prove intent to remove an item from the list, and no one so far has given hard documented proof. Therefore, all 196 items are up for grabs.
Is this still ongoing?
So we'll get there.
Oh,
but
wow.
But it's interesting. And so what did they decide? They decided to do a pick'em system, which is very common. Mm-hmm. Basically,
you go first.
Yeah, you go first. And so what they said is you go first in round one, and then you go last in round two, mm-hmm. and then you go first in round three, last. Yeah, so it's a snake. I don't know mm-hmm. if you've ever done a fantasy draft before, but it's called a snake draft.
Yeah, gotcha.
So very, very common. Question, Ben, is how do you decide who goes first?
Out of the hat.
Yeah.
Draw
well,
out of the
that
hat.
would be good. One of the Joe's idea was, look, here's what we'll do. We'll do ping pong balls. And we will, just like the New York State
lottery.
We'll put each sibling, from the oldest to the youngest, one and 12. And he's got a neighborhood kid who's 5 years old. He'll let him pick it and he'll video the whole thing and show the family this is exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, one of those siblings goes, well, how do we know if that's the original video? How do we know you didn't do this multiple times? And so Joe was kind of at a loss and goes, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to get Price Waterhouse Coopers like the Oscars mm-hmm. and have an accounting firm certify the order?
Yeah.
And he goes, that's a great idea. The sibling said, that's a fantastic, wonderful idea. So he decides, that he got an accounting firm to give a random number from 1 through 12 on their letterhead to determine who actually picked first.
Okay.
So you can see here, Ben, ultimately the lottery did take place on April 14th. But this is a divided family, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those situations where, man, would it have been nice to know what mom and dad really thought mm-hmm. and to know what, they really wanted to have happen with these items. And so, at Harbell and Collins, one of the things that we stress when we meet with an estate planning client is, we offer the option to do a handwritten memo of items. So all it means is that, we don't want to list every knickknack, everything
right.
in the
right.
will itself, because things change over time. And we don't want you to have to come redo your will for, I acquired this, I gave this away.
Right.
So we really want that memo to be in your own handwriting. That way you can change it if you so desire.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's so important, and I mean, what we've done an estate before where the decedent had no real close relatives. Everyone was out of state. Wes Collins was named the executor of the estate,
mm-hmm.
and she left a very detailed list of items, and I went over to the house and we started retrieving those items, packing them up, boxing mm-hmm. them up, and getting them to the people that she wanted those items to go to.
Yeah, there you go.
So, it's very important, and that's definitely one way where you can eliminate this need for this, mm-hmm. Huge production, especially, in the Ray family situation.
Do you want it to be handwritten to have that holographic nature then, so you can tell that this is the person who wrote it?
Correct, yeah. So you want it to be, because that's valid on its face at that mm-hmm. point in time, because it is in their own handwriting, signed by them to be incorporated in their will. If it's typewritten with them signed at the bottom, that's one of what we'll call a precatory desire, which means that that's what they want to have happen, but it's actually not a part of the will, and therefore it's only wants, necessarily a valid.
The executor
document.
Wouldn't have to do that.
Correct. That's exactly right. The executor wouldn't have to follow it. They would have to use it as a guide. Is basically the mm-hmm. best way that I would say. The other thing, Ben, is that family dynamics matter so much. This is a very emotionally charged situation. In the Ray family, obviously with divided factions, and you get the situation where you have people that stay home and close to mom and dad, and then siblings or children that are mm-hmm. moving away, and there's going to be some strife there, and there just naturally is, because maybe the ones that stay behind and stay close to mom and dad feel that they're entitled to more. But the will says equal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you get that real situation. The other thing is that, and it's funny in the podcast how it came out, but you really get to the bottom of what was driving all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the fact that they had 12 siblings all vying for mom and dad's attention. And there's not enough attention to go around.
Right, especially if he worked for the government. He worked.
That's exactly
right.
He
said he was JFK's Assistant Secretary of State.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
which is there's a little bit of irony there, considering that the State Department negotiates, negotiates treaties and agreements across combative forces sometimes. So that's.
So Joe, for instance, was talking, and they were asking him on the podcast. And he said, dad really never paid attention to me until I went to law law school.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and then all of a sudden he took a real big interest in what was going on with me and my life or whatever. He goes, but where was he the first 22 years?
Yeah.
So you can kind of see how this all plays out, you know, and then you have another sibling who they interview named Margot who says, you know, it's not even about the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about the fact that we want it to be fair.
Yeah.
You know, we want it to be, you know, done correctly and done properly. So you get into this principle issue.
You wonder if the next sentence was, as long as I get what I want.
Yeah. You know, and that leads me to the last point, then, which is really that, you know, the stuff itself is usually not the valuable part of the estate. I mean, you know, we can deal with the money. We can deal with the real property. We can deal with the stocks. We can deal with the bonds. We can deal with all of those type of items.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when it comes down to sentimental things, you know, it's hard for individuals to let go. And so one of the first things that I talk about when I interview an estate administration client, you know, one of the very first things I say is, are we going to have any problems with tangible property?
Hmm.
Because I know how big a deal it can be at the end of the day. And you spend so much money on things with relatively little value because of the quote unquote principle.
Right.
You know, so you really, if we can fix that stuff on the front end as much as possible through doing memos and letting mm-hmm. the decedent's wishes be as clear as possible, you know, that's very helpful. But then on the back end, we got to do the best we can to make sure that everyone can get along.
So have they done the pick'em yet?
They did the pick'em, yeah. And they said, you know, the end was basically, well, I'm still not going to talk to the Rockaways. I'm not going to talk to the non-Rockaways. Mm-hmm. You know, but you hope at some point in time, now that it's over, there's closure.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, time will heal some wounds with regards to this family. But it was a real interesting thing and definitely some lessons to be learned from that family.
It's tough all the way around to make that work.
That's
Look,
right.
If you want to get the good advice on how to make your estate work well and your taxes go smoothly as well, call on Andrew at Hartwell and Collins Attorneys of Law. He's available at A. Foster@HarvellandCollins.com.